Curtis, when did we begin Lunch with a Hero? Was that 3 years ago?
Yes, it was at the 110 Grill in by South Bay. Is that correct?
Yes.
And
yes.
Then the next year, yeah, I think it's 3 years ago.
Right. Then we were in Malden,
correct.
I think, last year. Mm-hmm. So this would be the third Lunch with a Hero. So
yep.
I am excited to share that we have everything locked down on our annual Veterans Day event, but we're changing it up a little bit this year. Not only is it lunch, but it is a roadshow, if you will, on Friday, November 8th. And so, in advance of Veterans Day, we want you to join us. We will be doing the show at the American Heritage Museum, which is in Hudson and Stowe. And it's an extraordinary place. I was there over the summer, and it is, those of you who served this country and those of us who didn't will be overwhelmed by what you get to see at the American Heritage Museum. So we want you to bring your hero. So, and we have had the absolute honor of meeting so many incredible men and women who served this country over the last couple of years of doing this. And I know this year will be no different. So join us for the broadcast. Everybody's invited, by the way, whether you're bringing a hero or not. And then we will take all of the heroes to lunch at the 110 Grill afterwards. We are also, on Friday, November 8th, celebrating the 100th birthday of a World War II veteran that we met last year, Joe Landry. And Joe is an incredible guy, was at the Battle of the Bulge, and will share some incredible stories, I am certain, when he joins us to celebrate his birthday on Friday, November 8th. So, if you are caller number 9 right now at 617-931-0937, you tell us the story of your hero. Who do you want to bring? They serve in Desert Storm. Did they serve in Vietnam? Did they serve in Korea? Who do you want to bring? And tell us who you'd like to bring. Call right now, and you and your hero will join us for the show at the American Heritage Museum, and then join us for lunch on us in the 110 Grill afterwards. And the number again is 617-931-0937. The other way to do this and to bring your hero to the show and to lunch is to just share a photo of your hero and a brief story on who they are and why you want to bring them on the contest page at WEEI.com. And we will select a bunch of you there. Just go to WEEI.com later on today. Tell us about your hero. I don't even know if you have to have a photo. I just think you have to share the story of your hero and why you want to bring them to lunch with us.
So, I am trying relentlessly to find the photo of you on the tanker because it's one of my favorite photos.
Oh, on the tank at, at the American Heritage Museum?
Well, yeah, I can't find it.
That is certainly how we are going to end the show, is Wiggy driving himself away in a tank.
I'll do that.
In a World War II tank. They have several there.
Mm-hmm.
And so We will absolutely do that during the show.
Greg, am I eligible because I used to do the morning show tanked?
Yes, Curtis. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, so I cannot wait for this event. I look forward to it all year long, and I would love to see you and love to see your hero. We all would on Friday, November 8th. So just go to the contest page at WEEI.com, and we will see you in a few weeks.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the dumb bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right. right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Where do you want to start, Sean?
Well, Greg, I want to begin with the New England Patriots because Alex Van Pelt was a major focal point of your lead with the audio we played because you're kind of fed up with this whole idea of the plan. Well, I thought this was an interesting back and forth. Andy Hart asked Mike Giardi on the WEEI afternoon show the percent chance that Alex Van Pelt is actually back with the Patriots next year. And Giardi's answer was interesting.
What are the chances Alex Van Pelt is the offensive coordinator next year? What percentage would you put on it?
40%, 42%.
40? Whoa, 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 whoa. You think it's below 50% that he's back next year?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a better question than I thought. Do tell.
So, look, if Drake takes a big step forward here and Drake continues to speak well of Alex, then Alex's job is probably saved. But by and large, if you continue to look at situations like you did even this past Sunday, where it doesn't appear like they have the necessary answers for the test and he's not maybe utilizing personnel in the right way, then I think they're going to come to a decision at the end of the year. Like, as good as Alex may have done to coach up the future of the franchise, Alex as a play caller and play designer is leaving something to be desired, and we can't go forward with that. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, they wanted Nick Caley. They offered Nick money, and Nick decided to stay as an assistant, not even a coordinator, but an assistant in L.A. with the Rams under McVay for another year than to come here. What's to say you don't make that call again?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get – if the kid is as good as Shime thinks the kid can be – you got to get him a legit offensive coordinator.
Right. I just don't know who's this. Well, I mean, I do know who decision that is, and that's Elliot Wolfe.
Yeah.
Why, if we all believe Jerod Mayo is going to be here next year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, barring something absurd.
He's got a pretty long leash, as they say, I would assume.
So why are we empowering a guy that's going to be gone?
Elliot Wolf or Van Pelt?
Van Pelt.
I don't know if we'd have gotten that done in week one.
Yeah. Because it's Wolf's guy. Like, that's where the power comes.
So then if it's Wolf's guy, why would he be gone?
I'm with you. I don't think he's going
to
be gone.
I think a lot of it also had to do with the option that you wanted at quarterback, which was not – I'm not talking about drafting Drake May. I'm talking about Jacoby Brissett and the fact that Alex Van Pelt, that was his guy.
Yep.
You know, that's who he felt comfortable with or familiar with or whatever.
Or knew his system, however you want to word it.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous that Jerod Mayo was identified 5 years ago as the next head coach of this franchise and is not given the authority to make the decisions that any head coach should be making.
Yeah, that's the thing that is absolutely mind-blowing to me. They could sell it to me all day long that, oh, it is Jerod's decision. He's the one who hired Van Pelt. But, I mean, all you got to do is just do a little digging and you could see where the connections come from. So, yeah.
And if they were so concerned about Van Pelt's offense and like Brissett being his guy because of his offense, why weren't they more committed to going and getting a guy like Amari Cooper who's been in that Cleveland Browns offense now for a couple years?
Right.
Because it's all smoke and mirrors. They never were interested in Ayuk. They do all of these things to act like they're engaged, but you got the truth from Jerod Mayo when he said that we weren't in that cycle yet to get Amari Cooper.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Next, so there's two former quarterbacks that are kind of criticizing their teams or critical of their teams as they're currently playing. The first one we're going to hear from here would be Troy Aikman.
Oh.
He is a little critical of CeeDee Lamb in particular here.
Oh, I hope he is being careful. Does Jerry Jones pay his salary at Fox or CBS, wherever Troy Aikman?
Luckily, Aikman's at ESPN. Okay. I don't think Jerry Jones pays his salary.
Okay, so he...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He's free to criticize Jerry Jones.
I think so,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Here is Troy Aikman.
I think the routes are terrible. I think they run terrible routes, and I've thought that beyond this year. And I think CeeDee's got to improve in his route running. And as a quarterback, if you're not certain where guys are going to be consistently, it's hard to play the position. And so that's what I see. I see guys lazy coming off the line of scrimmage. Sometimes they run. Usually, if they do, it's because they're anticipating they're going to get the football in that play. But if they're not, they don't. And it all ties together. And so. I'm not impressed with that part of it. I just finished watching the Baltimore Ravens because I have them this week. You put on a film of theirs and watch their receivers run routes, and they come off the football.
When it comes to nearing the halfway point of the season and preseason expectations,
yep.
Are the Cowboys the most disappointing team in the NFL?
Between them and Cincinnati. I'd have to throw Cincinnati into that as well. But I would
put the Jets as the most disappointing.
Mm.
Yeah, the Jets you could definitely put.
I was right, but everybody else was wrong.
I think it's going to be very interesting. That's why this is going to be very interesting to see what Jerry Jones does, because I think a lot of their issues is the coach. The coach and the culture and everything that's created. So what is he going to do next year?
Who's next, Sean?
Well, next, Greg.
Quarterback?
Yes, another former quarterback for you. This would be Curtis's favorite Steeler quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. He talked about the idea of sitting Justin Fields for Russell Wilson, even though the team is 4-2. Here was Big Ben.
I thought Justin actually played a good game. He went on some spurts there. We had a couple bad throws in a row. But all in all, I would absolutely not even think about taking him out of the game right now. I would keep him in there. And even if he has a bad game, I would keep him in there, because right now they're rolling. Yeah, they lost two. They got this win. But I think he's playing well enough. You know, I think he's doing enough. You saw with his legs especially, making things happen, creating. And not necessarily this time wasn't design quarterback runs. It was him extending a play, stepping up in the pocket, and just keeping the play alive. So I thought he played well. It's good to know what you have at the backup, and Russ is there if you need him. I just think what you're going to get from Russ is more pocket presence to throw the ball down the field, but you're not going to get that extend the play like Justin does, because he's a running back there when he decides to run. He's a really, really talented runner as well.
You agree with me?
Yeah, I agree with Roethlisberger all day. I mean, he's got five.
So weird time to insert Russell Wilson, even though he's, you know, he's a veteran.
Yeah, because it's not like I think you have two guys that they're not, you know, when you look at them, you don't go, oh, like Russell, we got to put Russell Wilson in there. You're two guys that were competing for the job. Justin Fields gives you something that Russell Wilson can't give you. You're a team that wants to run the ball, play defense, have your quarterback not make many mistakes. It's almost a blueprint of what the Patriots want to do, except they don't have the quarterback, or Jacoby Brissett wasn't that guy to do it. Where you have
is
that.
Is Russell Wilson still that guy, though?
I don't think so. I think he's fallen off. He's fallen off the cliff. And when you look at where he is with this team, I mean, he's gotten his opportunity, but he's done nothing with it. Didn't do nothing with it in training camp, and then he had that injury.
Also, despite what Derek the Steelers fan says frequently on this radio program, Mike Tomlin having that team at 4-2 is pretty good.
Does a good job with
pretty
them.
Good achievement.
Mike Tomlin is always a great coach. Like, I don't
they
understand.
Always, make the
always. Like, I don't understand the way in which Derek the Steelers fan speaks about Coach Tomlin.
To be fair, they haven't won a playoff game in what, 7 years?
I think that's what Derek goes on. Derek goes on. Yes, like you've seen it before. A coach that can get you to the to the playoffs, but you can't win. The same way we criticize players, like we criticize Lamar Jackson. When you going to get over that hump?
Right.
So you got to put the coach in the same kind of category. I think that's what Derek does.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, I got one more for you here. If you're not already excited about Drake May, here's somebody else that's going to make you more excited. This is probably future NFL Hall of Famer J.J. Watt talking about Drake May and how you should feel if you're a New England Patriots fan.
If I'm sitting there as a Patriots fan looking at my team, I got excited watching Drake May play. Now, does that mean he's going to be super successful this year? I don't know because of everything they have around him. I don't know if it's exactly set up for success this season, but watching him start out a little rough in that game, then at the end of the first half there, throw that ball, the 40-yard touchdown right before the end of the half was awesome because it shows some resiliency. It shows some guts to stand in there, make that throw. And then the second half, he came out and did some more. Obviously, kind of the fluky interception that he had, ideal. But truthfully, when you see a guy that can withstand some early pressure, mentally overcome that, and then go out there and make some great plays throughout the game, I think he's only going to get better with time.
Oh,
I agree.
I hope yeah. He's right.
I mean, I agree. Right. He has all, like, when you look at him, he has all the tools, mm-hmm. right? And we make fun of his facial expressions, but he keeps a cool head. He's a humble kid. It doesn't seem like anything bothers him in the sense if he does make a bad play where he carries that with him. So, yeah.
Curtis, you and James, me and Brees. Brunch Sunday for that game?
Oh, I'd love it.
You want to?
James loves a good brunch.
Go to Publico or?
I nailed it.
Publico is awesome.
Go to Lincoln, whatever.
The only thing I'm concerned about is you won't be much help if James is running around with that Achilles.
No, I mean, I am expecting that. I was told by a doctor that when it comes to the near Achilles tear, best thing for it is Eggs Benedict.
Is that what it is? Is it technically brunch or is it breakfast at 9:30?
It's breakfast.
It's brunch.
9:30 is breakfast.
No, it's called brunch.
I mean, Courtney, you're the brunch expert. Isn't that like technically?
11 to 1 is brunch.
Okay.
I mean.
So it's more breakfast with Curtis and James than it is
you're
brunch.
You're not getting like chicken tenders at 9:30 a.m.
James gets chicken tenders at all hours of the day.
That is the brilliance of brunch, is that you can get that at 9:30 in the morning. You can get.
But is the brunch menu ready?
Yeah, the brunch menu is ready when they open.
Right. You can get Eggs Benedict or, in Shime's case, an egg white omelet. Or you can get a chicken sandwich. Like Curtis and I would argue that the single greatest chicken sandwich ever conceived is the Lincoln chicken sandwich.
I don't even think it's up for an argument.
The grilled chicken sandwich, it's the bread.
Oh, Portuguese
is that a brioche?
Roll.
What is that, a brioche
yeah.
bun?
Yep.
And then it's the pesto aioli.
Oh, it's so good.
The bacon.
The fresh tomato mozz.
Right.
God, I love fresh tomato.
Legit fresh mozzarella sliced onto chicken Sandy at Lincoln. It's hard to beat.
And their white pizza, you can't beat, with the honey and the apples.
Yeah. Very good.
In the Seaport, that's just pizza.
Very good. Yeah. All right. That's They Said It on a Patriots Friday. Up next, we'll get to Courtney in today's news.